This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We've all heard the phrase, I'll sleep when I'm dead, but what if that mindset is actually getting us there faster? Well, this week is Sleep Health Week, and the theme is sleep, the lifelong superpower. It's all about reminding Australians that quality rest isn't just for kids or retirees. It's vital to our physical health, mental clarity, weight, mood, productivity, and even how long we live. So, to help us reframe how we think about sleep and understand the serious science behind it, we're joined by Associate Professor Brad Edwards from Monash University. Brad heads the Sleep Disorders Research Laboratory and directs the Sleep and Circadian Rhythm Research Program. Brad, welcome.
Thanks very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
What do you reckon is the biggest myth we still believe in about sleep?
Oh, look, it's a good question. I would say that I think that there's sort of a, I guess an understanding or a thought out there that it's like, well, you know, I can forgive sleep now because I've got all these other important things to do, and that just ends up in sort of chronic sleep deprivation, and that actually in turn turns into a whole lot of bad things. So I think that's probably the biggest thing I think of at the moment.
What are the big health impacts of sleep deprivation? What does it do to us?
Oh my God, it does so many things. There's so much research in this space that shows that if you're not getting enough sleep, you're at risk of a variety of different factors, you know, ranging from cardiovascular problems to metabolic problems, so things like diabetes and liver dysfunction, as well as just being able to not think straight, and then all of the mental health issues that come with not getting enough sleep. So it has quite far-reaching impacts on our health and well-being, for sure, if you're not getting enough sleep.
How do you know what is enough sleep? Like, in terms of, I suppose we can say, you know, an X number of hours per night, or is there a way we can feel when we wake up the next day? How do we determine, you know what, I've got the right numbers?
Yeah, that's it. That's another good question. Look, for generally healthy adults, it's really recommended that we should be getting somewhere between 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night for optimal health. At least that's what the data suggests. So on a regular basis, that's the sort of number that you need to be striving towards ideally, or that's what the evidence says for us. A good way to judge that really is just how well you feel during the day. Like if you're getting enough sleep, you should be waking up feeling refreshed, not tired and not groggy and not, you know, feeling like you need 2 or 3 coffees to get through the day.
I love how you've framed this year's theme. It is sleep, the lifelong superpower. We've spoken briefly just then about some of the health impacts. Superpower. Why superpower?
Because it's often under-recognized. It's a good question too. Like, it's often under-recognized, right, that sleep is something that we really need to prioritize. Often it falls by the wayside in life because of, you know, other things that we've got going on. But sleep is just as important as diet and exercise is for us for a healthy life. And we know, we've heard for years and years and years, you got to eat a healthy diet, you got to do regular exercise. But really what's been missing from that sort of thing in the public space is promoting that, you know, in addition to having those good sort of diet and exercise, we do really need good quality sleep to sort of optimally function.
If you've just joined us, we're talking about why sleep is more than just rest. Our guest is Associate Professor Brad Edwards from Monash University Sleep Research Program. Brad, let's talk about sleep apnea. How common is it, and what are the signs that someone might have it without realising?
Yeah, so sleep apnea is actually quite a common sleep disorder. It's probably one of the most common sleep disorders around. It's estimated to impact over 1 billion people worldwide, and so that's quite a lot. And I guess some of the key signs that you might be thinking that you've got sleep apnea is if you're continually waking unrefreshed, or if you notice that you're sort of waking up gasping for air. Sometimes if you have a bed partner that sleeps in the bed with you, they might notice that you're snoring a lot, or there's periods of the night where you stop breathing or again sound like you're choking. And these are all signs and symptoms that, you know, you might want to go to a GP and get checked out for whether or not you might have sleep apnea.
Brad, we often hear of sleep tips, things like, you know, make sure the room's dark, maybe potentially white noise. Some people say magnesium, don't look at your screen, etc. Which ones are actually backed by science, and which ones should we be focusing on the most to get a good night's sleep?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot that's backed by science in these. We often refer to them as what's called having good sleep hygiene. You know, much like dental hygiene is really important for the, you know, for our teeth. We have this this thing called that we refer to called sleep hygiene, and that touches on a lot of the things that you've mentioned. I think some of the things that we really sort of push in the sleep world is having regular bedtimes, and so going to bed at the same time and getting up every morning and trying to get that same amount of sleep every single night. Try to avoid daytime naps if you can, but if you find you're needing a lot of daytime naps, that may be another indication that you've got a potential sleep disorder. And again, the other things that you touched on too, avoiding bright lights, so avoiding things like using your mobile phone or your laptop or your TV, probably in about the hour before bed, if you can, and as well as just sort of having nice, comfortable lighting, a nice, comfortable, you know, room and bedding, you know, appropriately set temperature. All of these things are really, really important for us, that they all help, all synergistically to help give us a good night's sleep.
Brad, I've invested in these lights that, and they change the colour, so you can set it so that it goes to a certain wavelength or whatever just before, say, the hour before you go to bed. And I thought, oh, this must be an absolute gimmick. But I tell you what, I watch my partner and my dog, we all start yawning as soon as about 20 minutes after they sort of change colour. I can watch everyone go really drowsy. So there is something behind the light, isn't there?
There absolutely is, and there's quite a lot of evidence now that's suggesting that if you've got that really bright light, or if you're exposed to really bright light, or the blue light that comes from the devices as well, that really stimulates centers in our brain to sort of stay awake and suppress the natural hormones that help us that surge as we get closer to bed, that, you know, basically signal the onset of sleep. And then similarly, as you said, if you're in quite dim or warm, sort of yellowy, orangey, red type light, they're sort of signals for our brain to that it, you know, it's getting closer to sort of time to go to bed.
You know what else they're good for, these lights? If you've got dinner guests over and you want to get rid of them, just change the colour. They all start yawning.
Yeah, provide the get-out stimulus.
That's right. Before we let you go, what's your advice for someone who's listening who perhaps feels constantly tired but doesn't know where to start in terms of getting their sleep under control?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that your GP is probably your first port of call. Go to them, have a discussion. If you're feeling like you're continuously tired or lethargic on a regular basis, I would definitely start there. And then following, you know, depending on the outcome of that discussion, you may or may not find yourself referred on to see a sleep specialist, but definitely start with the GP for sure.
Associate Professor Brad Edwards from Monash University, thank you so much for joining us on Drive today.
No worries. You're very welcome. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And remember, this week is Sleep Health Week. The theme is sleep, the lifelong superpower. I love that, a superpower. For more information, you can visit sleephealthfoundation.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.